be with you. Welcome to worship this morning. I'm Reverend Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is great to be with you this morning. We're so glad to see all of you here, and especially if you are with us for the very first time, we want to give you a warm welcome. It's great to have you with us today. I want to invite all of you at some point in the service to take the Trinity Connection card that's in your bulletin and tear that out, and if you'll fill that out for us, it's very helpful for us to be able to get connected and stay connected to you. If you're here on a regular basis, if you'll provide at least your name and your email, that's very helpful to us. And if you are here for the very first time, if you'll fill out as much information as you are comfortable providing, we sure would appreciate it. You know, there's a quote that's attributed to John Wesley. It actually probably wasn't John Wesley that said it, but he may have said, it probably wasn't John Wesley who said it for the first time, but he may have said it frequently. And it's one that you all are probably familiar with. You know, as we come to the end of our worship series on losing ourselves on purpose, this morning we're talking about generosity. What does it mean to be a generous people? That has a financial aspect to it. But we can also talk about generosity in many other ways and how we are generous in our lives, in our living, in who we are and how we express ourselves. And this quote reminds us to be generous people. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Wonderful advice for us this week. One of the ways that we can do some good this morning is through our mission boxes. This morning, the information about the mission box in your bulletin is not correct. That's actually last week's information. Our mission box for today goes to SWAG, S-W-A-G, Southwest Advocacy Group. You all know that there are pockets of poverty, even extreme poverty, in different places in our community. And one of those pockets is in the southwest area of Gainesville. SWAG, this advocacy group, is an organization that really tries to provide for the needs and the means to lift people out of poverty in this southwest area of town. You also probably know that early intervention and early learning development is so incredibly important for children. And your mission box offering today specifically goes to help SWAG build a child center, a place where children can learn in a safe and clean environment. They can be identified for early intervention if they need it. They'll receive nutritious meals and creative play and early learning. This is so key to making an impact on them throughout their lives. So this morning I invite you to give generously in those mission boxes to SWAG, S-W-A-G, and it will, again, help provide the facilities for a child center right there in that community within walking distance for parents to bring their kids. And I hope that you'll participate in that as, again, we try to do all the good we can in all the places that we can to all the people that we can as long as we ever can. Let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them and say hello if you do.
Morning. Would you please remain standing and join me in the opening hymn?
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
and sustainer of life. We are here this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you be glorified as we are transformed in your extravagant grace. Amen. This morning I invite you to join me in our affirmation of faith. I will be leading us in the World Methodist Social Affirmation. And if you will join me in the bold responses as you see them on the screen. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us, to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high and on earth, peace. We confess our sins, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the use of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated.
As we enter into this time of prayer together, I invite you to bring whatever joys you might be bringing through the doors this morning that you wish to offer in praise and thanksgiving and celebration to God, and any concerns that might be on your hearts as well, as we go as a community to God in prayer. I invite you to look at these names here on the screen before you of those in our community who are in need of God's healing grace and your continued prayers that mean so much. But as we enter into this time of prayer, I invite us to sit in holy silence with those things that we have for God today. God of unfailing love and relentless grace, we gather this day to worship you in need of a holy encounter that changes our hearts and transforms our lives. May your Spirit fall afresh on us this morning to remind us that we were all made in your own image and that we have been redeemed through Jesus, your Son. Forgiving God, look with compassion on the whole human family in the midst of our brokenness and division. Let no hate, evil, or harm come from our mouths, hearts, or actions. Break down the walls that separate us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth. Bring our nation together to heal, so we can be instruments of your peace and your healing grace for the common good of all, especially the oppressed, the outcast, the downtrodden, and the marginalized. ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now have the opportunity to give back to God from what He has given to us through our offering, our tithes, our gifts that help sustain the ministries of this church, to Gainesville and beyond. And as the ushers come, let me pray for us this morning. Jesus, you are the real joy giver. And help us to follow your example and to joyfully give back from what you have given to us, so that we might be a beacon of hope in this world, light where there is darkness. Help us to be the church you are calling us and needing us to be in the world in these days, through these gifts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
last few weeks, we have been exploring together what it might mean for us to lose ourselves on purpose and to follow in the way of Christ. It occurs to me this morning that it's hard to imagine a time in recent history when it is more important for all of the people of Christ's body, God's church, in our country, to think about what it means to lose ourselves on purpose. To be a people who lose resentment and exchange it for forgiveness. To be a people who lose pride and exchange it for humility. To be a people who lose hostility and exchange it for hospitality. To be a people who lose self-interest and exchange it for service to others. Those are the things we've been talking about the last few weeks. Hospitality, humility, forgiveness, service. And today we conclude the series with generosity. To lose stinginess, to lose self-indulgence, and instead choose the way of generosity in this life and in this world. So we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We've spent some time in Luke over the last number of weeks on several occasions. And before I read today's passage, I want to invite you to set the scene and imagine it for yourself. Jesus is back in Jerusalem. This is near the end of his life. He has arrived in Jerusalem for the final time. And each day, he and the disciples go to the area around the temple. And he sits there and he teaches them and allows others to overhear what he is saying as well. And he has just talked to them about the way in which the legal experts, the scribes and the Pharisees, love to kind of carry themselves about and inflate their own importance. And then he notices people walking into the temple. So imagine yourself sitting there observing, watching Jesus, watching the disciples around him, watching these people entering into the temple. Perhaps imagine yourself as one of those people entering the temple yourself. And you are in that crowd of folks who Jesus is watching as they come in to that space. And then hear these words from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Looking up, Jesus saw rich people throwing their gifts into the collection box for the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow throw in two small copper coins worth a penny. He said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Some days it's easier to say that last part than others, isn't it? Thanks be to God. Sometimes the word confronts and challenges us in ways that may even be a little uncomfortable. Let me invite you to pray with me as I pray for you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word into our hearts from you on this day. Amen. People entering into the temple, rich and poor, those with much and those with little. What is going on here as Jesus calls out those who have much for what they give and then has something significant to say about this woman who drops in two lepta, is the Greek word, the word for the smallest currency of its day. Two lepta, all she had. And then Jesus makes this outlandish statement that in doing so, she has given more than the others whom he has observed. What is going on here in this passage? Well, let's first take a moment to make sure we notice what Jesus does not say here. Sometimes there's confusion and sometimes there's a lot of reading into statements that are made, not only here but in other places in our lives and in our world. What is not said here is important for us to acknowledge as well as what is said. Jesus does not say in the scripture passage this morning that the widow's gift matters more because she is poor. Jesus acknowledges the abundance of her offering out of her poverty. But her state of being poor in itself is not what gets Jesus' attention here. Jesus also does not say in this passage that being rich is evil. It is not the fact that there are wealthy people in the community and that these wealthy people are entering into the temple. It is not wealth or poverty that creates evil or good, like or dislike. Rather, it is something else that is going on here as Jesus watches the crowds enter the temple. What is Jesus saying? Well, I think Jesus in this passage, and it is reinforced for us in other places throughout Scripture, is that not every gift reflects true generosity. It is possible to give and yet to not do it out of a place of generosity. That is one of the things that Jesus notices that day as he observes people going into the temple. What he has to say to his disciples and to us is that the character of the gift matters. The way in which it is given, the heart with which it is given. Remember that place where the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he says that God loves a cheerful giver. I can imagine the smile on God's face when someone gives out of a sense of joy, out of a sense of response that overflows with thanksgiving. And so as we look at this story today, I think it helps us begin to shape a theology of generosity that informs the how and the why of giving, as well as the what, and perhaps even more importantly than the what of giving. So let me share a few thoughts on that with you today. The first is this. That first and foremost, our calling and our invitation to give is because God first gives so generously to us. And so when we give, it is a response of gratitude. And our generosity, our reaction, our response back to the God who has poured so much into our lives opens us up to a kingdom-minded life. You know, every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Generosity opens us up to a kingdom-minded life, because apart from generosity, we will settle for building our own little kingdom. God invites us to be a part of something that is so much more, so much bigger. And when we practice generosity, we are opened up to this life, and we get to participate in what God is doing among us and in the world today. I want to invite you to take the next moment or two and listen to one person's story from here among us at Trinity. Jamie Betts, as he talks a little bit about how that happened for him. Take a look.
We're commanded to give a tenth of whatever we get, because all our, everything we have comes from God. And he deserves that back so that he can go do the things that we as people don't take care of as individuals. I didn't always tithe. My wife and I made a conscious decision years ago that we would start tithing. It's that the Bible asks for. You know, a tenth of what we get is for God. And it started making a difference in our lives in terms of drawing us further and further into the church and the life of the church as a couple and as a family. And from that, we started getting involved in volunteer opportunities. I started with Jan LeDuc enticing me to go help the Habitat building. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, we did a well trip to Guatemala, and as a result of that, I've been to Central America, to different countries there, to work with Living Water and drill wells. And it's been a source of great comfort to me to have the relationships that I've developed over the years with all the people in Trinity and people involved in the Appalachian Service Project and really all over the world, including Water, with the Ports of Solomon, and through the ties at church, I became involved and went on the board of Call to Action, which is a separate 501c we've developed, and we've been feeding the homeless for many years now. I'm hopeful going forward that people in the church will search their hearts and decide to give the Lord this tenth that he asked for. It can make a big difference in your life. It can certainly enrich it in ways that you never thought possible. And the old adage that you get back tenfold what you give is so true. And I just can't emphasize it enough.
At the core of our scripture lesson this morning, I believe, is this idea of Jesus inviting us in our giving to move from spare change to life change. And Jamie's story illustrates that so well when he says that when he began giving, when he began offering that tithe, all of a sudden he found himself and his wife moving deeper and deeper into the life of the church and going out in service to the world because God had opened his life up to new possibilities. We give first because God gives so generously and we respond with gratitude so that we can get on board with what God wants to do in the world today. Secondly, in crafting an understanding of our generosity, it's important for us to think in terms of giving from what we have, not from what we do not have. We do not all have equal amounts to give. And yet we do all have equal opportunity to give proportionally out of what we do have. We see this idea reinforced time and time again in Scripture as well, that we might give of what we have, of the resources that have been entrusted to us, and not be expected to give out of what we do not have. One of my favorite examples of this is from a number of years ago, when Catherine and I had taken a youth group to the Atlanta area for a mystery trip one weekend. And as a part of that mystery trip that weekend, we took them on Sunday morning to worship at a place called Ben Hill United Methodist Church. Now, Ben Hill is one of the largest predominantly black congregations in our denomination. And we didn't know it when we went there that day, but it just so happened that morning was the day when they were kicking off a new campaign to be able to build some additional facilities for new ministries. And as a part of that kickoff, as a part of celebrating the generosity that had already been expressed by some folks in advance of inviting others, the pastor of the church invited two people to come up who he wanted to give thanks for and to share as a way of encouraging and challenging the rest of the congregation. The first was a gentleman by the name of Cliff Levingston. Some of you may recognize that name. He was an all-star basketball player for the Atlanta Hawks for a number of years and a deeply devoted member of that congregation. And what the pastor shared was that Cliff had made a commitment to make a $100,000 gift to that campaign. And then the pastor invited Mary to come and stand beside him as well. Mary was someone who had been working as a kitchen helper at the church for several years. And when she heard about this opportunity for the church to expand its work, knew that she wanted to be a part of that. And so she had gone to the pastor to say that she had $1,000 in a savings account that she wanted to commit to this effort. And so there they were, Cliff and Mary, both beside the pastor, both giving out of what they had, both doing so generously as a way to participate in what God wanted to do in that church. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of all coming together to be a part of what can be done for the sake of the kingdom. The last piece for today that I'll mention in thinking about our theology of generosity is to talk about what the Bible often refers to in terms of first fruits. Time and time again, we are reminded to take the first portion. The tithe is the biblical concept that's used, a tenth, and set that aside first as a response to God's goodness in our lives and a way to give back and be a part of what God wants to do. So to start with that one and say, God, you have given me so much, and so I want to give this back to you. You know what? As you look at these apples right here, if you start here and you say, I'm going to set this one aside, it really doesn't look that different over there, does it? It really does not. At first glance, you really can't even tell that much of a difference over here. But here's the problem. Here's how we too often approach this idea. We start at the other end of the table. And we go, well, you know, I got to take care of my house and my car, and I got to take care of some clothing, and we got to have food to eat. And then I want to make sure I take that trip this year, and I want to make sure that, education, I got some kids to put through college, and, insurance. And we go on and on, and then we get down to one or two, even get down to this last one, and then all of a sudden, we still are thinking about some other things that we want and we need, or we think we need. And we start biting into this one that was meant to be set aside first, until sometimes all we have left to offer is just a core. I want to invite you. I want to challenge you to think about working in the other direction. To be reminded on a daily basis of the goodness of God, of the abundance of God's generosity, of how much God loves you and has done and wants to do in your life, and how much God wants to do through us. And out of that gratitude, out of that sense of what God wants to do, take that one first. And say, God, this is yours. I entrust it back to you so that you can do great things through me and through my brothers and sisters for the sake of your kingdom. Let me invite you to pray with me. Holy God, all we have and all we are indeed are gracious gifts from you. Help us to live out of that gratitude and to live out of a trust that is confident in your goodness and in your care. And by our generosity, may you be at work through us, through this church, to do great things for your kingdom. Amen. This morning, as we come to receive God's gifts for us at the table, it will be our opportunity for those who call Trinity home to to bring commitments, indicating our intention to participate in the work of the church in the coming year. If you are a member of Trinity, you have received letters in the mail in recent weeks and a card that you were invited to bring back today. And as you come for communion, you can place those cards in the basket that you see here at the front. May there be an abundant harvest that enables God to work through Trinity in the coming year to do more than we could have imagined possible. Thanks be to God.
We come to this table and we give thanks. Because it is good and right always and everywhere to give thanks to God. God, who created each one of us, formed us and shaped us and gave us being, and then breathed the breath of life into us. All that we are and all that we have is given to us by God. God created us to love one another and to love God, and gave us all that we needed in the garden, and yet we turned away from God, and our love failed. Again, God's love for us remains steadfast. God came and spoke to us and called us to be the people of God again and again, and yet we continue to turn away from God, and so in the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ. He taught us how to live and embodied for us what it truly means to lose ourselves on purpose. And Christ gave everything for us, even his life, and was obedient to God to the point of death on a cross, so that we might have life. Have it abundantly. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and he gathered the disciples around him and broke that bread and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and poured it, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table and we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice, communion with Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Say that with me. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let me invite you to pray with me. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. By your Spirit, oh God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together in his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to join me at the table as altar prayer. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to come and share in this feast prepared for us by Christ. So we invite you to come forward, beginning at the front and moving toward the back. You'll come forward by the left side of your section. Come to the section in front of you. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread. Take that and dip it into the cup, and then you can return to your seats by the other side. As you come forward, either before or after, you're welcome to spend as much time at kneeling benches as you would like in prayer, and to place your commitments for the work of the church through Trinity in these baskets of food. Everything's ready. Please come.
response, would you please stand and sing our doxology, which is to the tune of All Creatures of Our God. Pray with me. Holy God, we give you thanks for this precious meal in which you have offered yourself for us. Grant now that we may go out in the strength of your good news, that we may live generous lives, losing ourselves on purpose. For we know that it is in losing ourselves for your sake that we find abundant life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
As we give of our very selves, let's continue to worship as we close together by singing our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
As you leave this morning, as a small token of thanks for your generosity and your participation in helping make ministries possible here at Trinity, I want to invite you to stop by the tables that are over here. You'll see Laura and Randy there, and they would love to give you a little token, a luggage tag, as a reminder of this series that we have been participating in and a way for you to share the love with others. And then also, either over there or outside, you'll find grocery bags that you can take with you today and bring back with food for our Thanksgiving offering to help others that will be a part of next week. As we go, may we go with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts because God has blessed us in abundance so that we might, in response, be blessings to others. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the strength of the Holy Spirit be with you all.